me.
Othello on the beat.
Something else on the works too. My friend, Miss Taylor Harris. What's going on, sis?
I'm glad to be back. It was so nice we had to do it twice.
Oh, absolutely. And we're gonna keep we're gonna keep doing it. This is a partnership, and I was just telling her about how Keisha listened to it, and Keisha never really. She might say, you know, it was a good episode this time, babe. And she pushes the podcast, but she would like, you know, she'll tell me, hey, that was a good episode y'all did, or that was a funny episode. But this last episode I did with Taylor, she called me while she was at work, and she was like, the chemistry you and Taylor have is just amazing. It's like, y'all got to do this again. Y'all have to put it together. Y'all are just great together. And I couldn't agree more. And I'm so honored. And then what was funny was you text me and told me the next day and told me the same thing. So I was like, okay, well, you know, of course the man is the lead, quote unquote, but if the two women see it, they're the brains of this operation. So
that's my friend. I paid her to say that. That's why.
No, I'm pretty sure she didn't get paid nothing because
that's my girl. That's why she got my back.
Nah, but she's definitely the brains of this operation. And Taylor, as I always say, you're one of the smartest people that I know. And I'm just honored to have you. So we're doubling back, and we're just going to continue the conversation that we had on last week. Because if you're looking in the news today, if you're just looking on social media or wherever the case may be, if you just looking at your surroundings, the world is still going crazy. Mm-hmm. The nation in particular is going crazy. Vaccine, people taking the vaccine is at an all-time low, and cases are rising. Here in the great state of Florida, there is a 12,000 plus cases per day in the COVID, and nobody's doing anything about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're just going to continue today's subject, part two of the Gospel According to Politics, because this is not about anything other than politics. Right. They're limiting. Pushing the need to get the word out that how important it is for you to get the vaccine, because their political parties are fighting against each other. So instead of you doing what's good for your health, they're doing what's good for their political party. Talk to me a little bit more about what you've seen, sis, on that.
That's basically what you said. Y'all got baby Trump over there in Florida.
We do.
Who is just like adamant about, I guess, killing as many people as he can.
Right.
Because he's not putting in a mask mandate. He's sending the kids back to school. And like you said, it has very little to do at this point. It shouldn't have anything to do with politics. It should have everything to do with people's health.
Right.
Right. So what you're telling me, baby Trump DeSantis, when you go in that, when he's talking and he's doing all these press conferences, basically that you don't care about me.
Right.
Right. He's vaccinated. Right. The people Absolutely. Around him are vaccinated.
Absolutely.
He's okay. So he's basically telling the rest of Florida, like, y'all on your own.
Right.
You know, if you make it, you make it. If not, it is what it is.
Right.
And so, I find that so interesting how that person, right?
Right.
Will be the same person who will walk into a church and tell me that they need to mandate me being a woman, right? Because I think I texted it to you the other day. Mm-hmm. I said, it's interesting how they understand my body, my choice, when it's about masks and it's about vaccines.
Right.
But then they sit there and tell me, a woman, that it's not my body and it's not my choice. Right. So now, personally, do I agree with abortion? No, I do not.
Right.
But I also know it is not my business to tell another woman what to do with her body.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. When you said that, I think I replied back. That was a mic dropping statement that you hit, that you gave, because it's amazing, like you said, how we can choose and pick what we want on different certain issues or whatever like that. So it's crazy in that political world. But you at this point, you would kind of expect this from a political party, these mm-hmm. political party, because at the end of the day, it's all about money. It's all about the bottom line. Where we want to take this conversation to is how the church is now playing a role in it. And we talked about it a great deal about it last week. But we want to go in it a little bit further, because even these pastors, mm-hmm. this pastor, Greg Locke, I think he is in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, how he began to preach. And you begin to send me some other clips of different pastors and different other ministries that are taking this political stance instead of this people stance.
Right.
To where, you know, I don't know. And this is just my opinion. And before I go into that, let me say this. If you don't want to get the vaccine, that's up to you. I got the vaccine. Keisha, my wife, took the vaccine. Of course, our daughters can't take the vaccine, but that's what I felt was best for my family, because mm-hmm. we had COVID. My whole family had COVID. Keisha, myself, the girls. Only person that didn't have COVID was Riley. Lucky Riley. But she didn't have COVID. But the rest of us, we did. We had it, and I know how it feels. So any right. prevention that I could take to limit my chances in getting it, I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust the people that he's giving this wisdom to. And I know people can say, you know, well, it ain't FDA approved, but, you know, why wait on the government to approve something that was given by the government? That's just my opinion on it. If you choose not to take the vaccine, that's up to you. But as far as mask wearing, to limit and to be considerate of others, that's the least that right. you can do. And this pastor, along with other pastors, you know, mm-hmm. he got two signs made at his church saying, if you come in here, basically saying, if you come in here with masks, you're going to be asked to leave. And it's like, you are belligerent. You are ignorant. And you are ridiculous in what you are trying to preach to these people when you got so many people dying from this COVID disease. And I think that it's important for pastors to speak up and to warn the people how to protect yourself.
Exactly. You know,
when I seen the cases start back rising up, I told my church, I told our people, for those that do come, wear a mask. No more masks, no more masks, unless you are up there singing, are you up there preaching? Other than that, mm-hmm. everybody need to have on a mask, because we got to protect ourselves. We exactly. got to do better. So, I mean, as far as what you're seeing in the church world, what is being, I won't say one, but what are the other things that you're seeing that is going on that is that you find disturbing and detrimental to what's going on within the church?
Mm. How long is this podcast?
hey, we're doing more episodes, so we're gonna have a while.
There's a lot that I see troubling with the church, but I'll stick to the current topic at hand. Okay. I'll stick to COVID and all of this politics in the church. Greg Locke is a media harlot. Okay. I don't know if this is PG-13 or not. If you got children listening, I apologize. They probably don't know what a harlot is anyway.
Let it rip. But
he does things to end up on CNN, right? So because he watches CNN, only to tell his church that he doesn't watch CNN.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right.
He watches the news only to tell his church, don't listen to the news, even though he knows everything that the news is saying. And the only way you can know what the news is talking about is if you watch it.
Right.
So for me, all of that is just attention, because the more he knows, the more outrageous he gets, the more people will come.
Right.
Right. From both sides. People will come because they agree with him. And then there are people who will come just to get under his skin, right? Because I did the brave thing of going to his YouTube page, the church YouTube page, and watching one of the services, right? Lord. I couldn't get through the whole thing. I could not get through the whole thing because it was nauseating.
Right.
But the minute he got up there, the first thing he said was, I'm not going to talk about the news, but just let me address this real quick. If you have a mask on in here, or if you came in here intentionally wearing the mask, then, you know, we're going to escort you out. Right. So he's already like, they lady just sang a worship song. She, you know, she trying to usher in Jesus if he ever comes and sees about him in that church. But the next thing he says, he totally changes the whole mood and he goes to politics. And I'm like, okay, this is a tactic, right? You are doing things to get attention.
Absolutely.
Now, the one thing that I will say good about him is he actually did read a scripture, right? He tried to preach a sermon. Now, it veered off and he started talking about politics again. But a lot of these evangelical churches now, they're not even taking a text. They just going to preach to you about what's wrong with history, that they're not, you know, 1776, no mask wearing, COVID. That's all they're preaching about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to keep like drawing the line between races, but the facts are the facts. If you go on most live streams and you look at Black churches, everybody got masks on.
Right.
If not most of the people, right? The majority of the people in the building are going to have on a mask. You go to Southern white churches and you look at their live stream, nobody has a mask on.
I'm with you.
Why is that? Right? Because 7 out of 10 white Christians are Republican. Only 3 out of 10 white Christians are Democrats.
Mm.
Statistics show that all the states that Trump won, both in 2016 and 2020, are not vaccinated and they do not wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
All the states that Hillary and Barack won wear masks and are vaccinated. So it's not me making the distinction of trying to pit the white race against the Black race. I'm not doing that at all. Those are just the facts.
Right.
So now we got to look at why is that? Why is it that the Republican Party or white Christians are so adamant about not wearing masks? Well, they're not very big on being told what to do. They're used to being the ones telling people what to do.
Right.
We're not just living in the last days. We're living in the last days of the white privileged male. And they know that.
Right.
And they are losing their ever-loving minds.
Right.
And so if they can just go against this one thing, right? If they can unite against this one thing, regardless of if it's killing them or not, they're going to go to their grave believing it, because at least I have that control. Now, it's sad.
Absolutely.
It makes no sense, but that's the way it is. And we can't keep preaching. At some point, it's going to be made very clear, and I think we're already seeing it, who the real Jesus is, right?
Absolutely.
We got one Jesus who is a card-carrying member of the NRA, waves Confederate flags, and votes Republican all the time. Then you got another Jesus that is, you know, all-loving, and he just loves everybody. He doesn't care what you do. And, you know, there's different variations of Jesus, depending on where you go to church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You will hear a different Jesus. So that's what we were saying last week when I was saying, at some point, the people who know the real Jesus have to stand up and get loud.
Absolutely.
Because Greg Locke is very, very loud. And he's screaming for a reason. Who's going to be that person to match his volume? And I'm not saying in literal terms.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to be that person that matches that volume and is like, okay, appreciate your stance. However, over here, I don't believe in killing my members. Right? That's the stance that you took.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to kill my members. A mask is a piece of paper, but it will do you good. Not just me, but you too. I'm not just trying to protect me. I'm trying to protect you too, which is why I put on a mask, which is proven to work. I can show you the statistics, right? It's proven that wearing a mask lowers the transmission of the disease.
Right.
So if I care about you, sure, I might be inconvenienced for a few minutes, but I would rather do that than put you in danger.
Right. Right.
But I'm doing that because I actually care about you, which is why I said Ron DeSantis does not care about me, because he doesn't want me to wear a mask. Greg Locke clearly does not care about me or his members, because he's telling them not to wear a mask.
But the sad part about it is Ron DeSantis does not claim to be a messenger of Christ. Greg Locke does. And that's where the responsibility it comes True. At. When you put that label on, nobody forces you to say that I'm a man of God. Nobody forces you to say that I'm a pastor or to start a ministry, because you do this on your own because you feel led of God to walk in this path. So you have a responsibility to the people to tell them what's right, even if it's not, you're not preaching to them in the spirit, but you also giving them wise counsel as well. That's one of our jobs. That's one of our obligations. And what has happened is we've went and we've changed our message. We've went from the message of faith to the message of fear mongering. You know, mm-hmm. we're riling up the crowd. We are, like you said, it's a statistical fact that pretty soon they will not be the majority.
Yep.
You know, blacks won't even be the majority either.
Correct.
So with the majority comes a change of power. And like you said, yeah, they exactly. see it, and they are doing everything that they can to stop something that's inevitable. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And this is why you have what you have today. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's definitely sad.
It is. But it all goes back to, and God really has a sense of humor, because I was watching, or I was flipping through, Amazon Prime, and there's a documentary on there called American Heretics, right? And it's focused on Oklahoma, really. They had Carlton Pearson on there, and some other white pastors who were basically, the liberal pastors in a red state, right? Both in 2016 and 2020, every single county in Oklahoma went for the Republicans. Like the whole state is red. And then, so the documentary really focused on the liberal pastors who are trying to battle this kind of mindset, right? But one of the pastors on there, he said, "I'm not a fan of partisan politics, right? I don't tell my church who to vote for. But there is a politics of the gospel, right?"
That's good.
The gospel has politics.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to ask ourselves, what is the politics of the gospel? That's Micah 6:8, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
That's true religion is to care for the widows and the orphan.
Absolutely.
That's Isaiah 61. He sent me to what? Open the jail cells, free the oppressed. All of that is politics of the gospel. So if our politics don't match the politics of the gospel, then I feel like there's something wrong.
That's good.
And the problem that I have with churches like Greg Locke's church and Robert Jefferson, all those people, is that their politics don't match the politics of the gospel.
Right.
They're not trying to do the right thing. They're trying to vote right wing. That's it. Right? They care about abortion. They care about homosexuality. They care about conservative judges. They care about the Second Amendment. They've made that very clear. So those are their politics. That's how they vote. I'm going through the Gospels and I'm trying to look at what Jesus said.
Right.
And he said that I should care about the widow and the orphan, not throw them in jail. Right? Because that's literally what our policy was.
Yeah.
We put orphans, first of all, we made them orphans and then we locked them up. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
If you're not raising the minimum wage, if you're not expanding Medicare, you're not taking care of the widow and the orphan. Those are the things that I care about.
Yeah.
Because Jesus cared about them. Most of the time that Jesus was in bodily form on this earth, he was with those who would be considered today those in the hood, right? He was in the ghettos. He was with the poor people. He was visiting orphanage. He'd be visiting orphanages. He would be at homeless shelters, because those are the people that he hung around with.
Right.
Who Jesus had the most smoke for was religious leaders.
Yeah,
because y'all got all this knowledge. You can quote me the Torah backwards and forwards, but yet you're not applying it to your life. Every time we see Jesus get angry, it's with religious people.
Mm-hmm.
It's with people who should know better. So I'm not harping on this, and we're not talking about this just because, oh, we don't like them or we don't like their politics or we're Democrats, because I'm not a Democrat.
Right. Absolutely. No. Nope. Nope.
Nor am I a Republican.
Nope.
I care about what Jesus told me to care about. It's also, they also said in that documentary that Oklahoma has some of the worst statistics when it comes to the wealth gap and the poor and their homeless rate. And when he said that, I said, so he said, but yeah, we got churches on every corner. And that's what most cities, right? You can find a church everywhere.
Absolutely.
But my thing is, if the block, if the 3-4 block radius around your church does not look like heaven, then you still got work to do.
We need to write that down.
Wherever there is an institution in which you claim that you serve Jesus, then everybody in that radius should be taken care of.
God, that's so good.
So my question then to Greg Locke and the Robert Jeffress and the Franklin Graham and to all of Paula White, all of them. My question is, what is the 4-block radius around your church look like? Don't tell me what you're doing in Africa. I don't care. Because Franklin Graham has Samaritan's Purse. And when I was in college, I was hooked up with Samaritan's Purse. I didn't really know that he was in charge of it at the time. And they do this Operation Christmas Child. I did it at our church 1 year until I found out that he was crazy. And then I stopped. So it, like Samaritan's Purse with Operation Christmas Child, they send out Christmas, like they do shoe boxes full of toys and school supplies, hygiene items, and they send them to third world countries. And my question was, shoot, some cities in America look like third world countries.
Man, come on.
Appreciate what you're doing over in Africa so you can take a photo out with the little black kid. Appreciate that. However, what about Detroit? What about Baltimore? What about Ferguson?
Yeah.
What about Jacksonville?
Absolutely.
Right? So our mindset and our framing has to change. Appreciate all of your, if you don't want to wear a mask, that's your business. Just don't come around me.
Absolutely.
Right? Social distance. If you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your business. But the minute you step into my space, and you start infringing on my health, right? Because I have pre-existing conditions. I don't want to be around nobody.
Right.
Which is why I stay home. Because I don't trust y'all. Okay? Unless I can verifiably see that you have been vaccinated, I do not trust you. This honor system thing wears me out. You know, oh, you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. How do I know?
How do we know? Absolutely. Okay?
People lie. No. But what I'm saying, I don't have a problem with pastors and churches holding civics classes or talking about voting and politics. I don't have a problem with that. That's basically what I do. Right. I talk about politics all the time.
Right. Right.
I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is that your politics is full of hate. And it's making my life and the people that I love.
Yeah.
Miserable. So that's the problem that I have. So the politics that we should have should match that of Jesus. And there is absolutely a politics of the gospel. That's what we should be aiming to.
Absolutely. I'm all for that. You preach the word, just saying you on fire. I'm so serious. That 4-block radius thing, my mind started thinking about in June. Was it in June? Oh, no, it was this one, July. For a few Sundays, we didn't have service at all. What we did is we had a prayer canvassing Sunday where we walked around the neighborhood of our church and prayed. And when I told them, I said, I don't want y'all to just walk. I want y'all to look. Look at your surroundings. We started looking at abandoned buildings, started seeing, we have a, I call it a high harvest area, you know, where there are a lot of homeless people around where our building is. But I told them to look and observe. Don't just walk. Observe right. what's going on. Look at your surroundings. This is the area that God called us to.
Mm-hmm.
We have to serve this community. So many That's churches, right. and I'm going to go and I'm going to make this conversation even more broader than just the white evangelicals, but I'm putting it, and I know you are too, but I'm saying we all have this responsibility to impact our local community.
Absolutely.
It's one thing that bothers me is, and I'm not knocking it, but this is just my opinion. It's amazing how the church turned from being that staple in the community to becoming this big business, and then you grow, and then you leave the place that grew you.
Yep.
You're not giving back. And then this is the ignorant part. You have these other, because there are some other churches that come, these white churches that come in the neighborhood and do this harvesting stuff where the black church that was there, you done up and left for greener pastures. And I'm not saying that you can't move, that you can't evolve, that you can't grow.
Right.
What I'm saying is, what are you doing
right.
for the community that helped you get where you are today? How are you impacting the community? Because little black boys need to see black men helping their community.
Wow.
Little black girls need to see black women helping and investing back into their community. Because the truth on the other side, they're seeing black men destroy the community.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing the women destroy the community, but the church that's supposed to be the staple, we've left the gospel and we've replaced it with the business of making people feel good for our bottom line to be affected. And like you said, we have left the gospel of politics behind, what Jesus is really concerned about. I think if Jesus was here today, there would be a lot of surprised people on who he would go off on. He would definitely go off on these white evangelicals, but there are some pastors of our same hue that he would definitely come in there and destroy.
Easily.
Because you're all about big business. You're all about the bottom line. You could care less about the people.
He wouldn't recognize the church as it is today.
That's good. That's good.
At all. Like, none of the disciples, none of the first century Christians, what is happening? They would not recognize what we consider church today.
Mm-hmm. It's become a show, honestly. Is
a reality show.
Oh,
a bad
my God.
One.
I don't want to sound so negative on the church, but I draw concern because just like you said, for us to be able to make our voices heard against these false teachers and preachers like Greg Locke, we got to be prepared and we have to be ready to speak against that venom that he is spewing. We got to be in place to be prepared and have the information to combat what he's doing. But this is my issue. We're not prepared. We're not ready. Because see, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is, and I'm not being racist, a white man can spit ignorant facts and get a mass drawing. But a black man has to be educated. He has to have experience. And I mean a black woman too as well too. Mm-hmm. You have to have education, experience, right. and you have to know how to articulate it
mm-hmm.
in its proper manner. And we got all these things stacked up against us, and we know what we need to do, but we're not doing it. We're not taking, we rather take the easy road and just make people shout, make people feel good, talk about your haters for 25 minutes, and leave these people empty and not prepared to face the world that they're getting ready to go out against. My job is to empower people to go out there and live not just their best life, but help somebody else too. But I feel that there will be a lot of bloody hands on pastors that are using the people and not empowering the people. We're not prepared for battle. We're not prepared to fight. I remember, I don't know if you've seen this, it went viral some years ago about Killer Mike. He was at this black convention and he was saying, how many of y'all are ready to start a revolution? Everybody raised their hand. He said, how many of y'all know how to farm? A few people raised their hand. How many of y'all are invested in a black owned bank? Few people raise their hands. Me too. And that's what made me get into my bank. And he was like, y'all not ready for no revolution. Y'all talk a good game, but y'all ain't prepared for it. And that's the same way it is in the church. Yeah, we can talk about these injustice that's going on, and we're tired of seeing blacks being unjustly done and getting killed and stuff like that. But what are we doing to prepare ourselves for the battle? What are we doing to prepare ourselves to combat what's happening in our communities? Because the truth is, we're doing just as much damage in our communities as the white man is.
That part.
So my part is, don't even bring up what the white man doing if you're not doing nothing either.
That part.
Your silence is killing us as well. Man,
that part.
And I'm not trying to go off, but what I'm saying is, like, we got some work to do. This new thing that God is doing within me, and it's like killing the, like you said, if Jesus was to walk into a church, he would not recognize it. And I feel led that God is calling me in a different direction, and you feel like an outcast. You feel like you're doing something that's, you are doing something that's different, and you are supposed to be an outcast, a peculiar people, but you're doing something from the norm of what we see today and what we know today. And it's like a lot of things that we're doing in the church, I don't even see it as being necessary anymore.
Right.
We got to cut the show out and we got to empower these people, because they ain't playing fair on the other side.
Not at all.
I'm gonna let you talk, but I'm just.
No, I'm receiving the word. I'm taking notes. I'm about to cash up your offering in a second. But it, and like you said, we're not trying to bash the church or anything like that. But when you love something, you care about the state that it's in.
Right.
Right. And it almost causes me to question, like, who are we really loving and serving and singing to and worshiping when we go to church every week? Because if you claim to love God, if you claim to love the church, if you claim to love God's people, then anything that you see wrong or harmful or something that is going against what you know is right, it should automatically compel you to do something about it. And I think the problem with all across the board is that we have to check ourselves first,
right?
and really question our commitment to this, right? I'm not a Christian because my parents were, or because I just grew up with going to church, or, you know, because this is what my family does. I'm a Christian because I love God.
Right.
Because I serve Jesus. And anything that I see wrong with his bride, the thing that he died for, I'm going to speak up about it and try and do anything in my wheelhouse to do, anything that's in my power to do to help make it better, I'm going to do.
Right.
If Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it, if Jesus loved us so much that he literally laid his life down for us, the least that we can do is make sure that he's represented correctly.
Absolutely.
And that starts with us first, right? Because we are the church that people see the most. How you live your life, how you act and go about living in this world is what people see first. Your life is the witness that people are going to come in contact with first. That's why when people say they don't like the church, what they're really saying is they don't like people
That's good.
Who represent the church.
That's good.
The church hurt problem isn't really a church problem. It's a people problem.
Absolutely.
It goes back all the way to what Gandhi said. He said to the Christians, I read the Bible. I like your Jesus. It's just that you Christians don't match up to what I read.
Wow.
That's the problem. Whether we're talking about the white evangelical church, black church, Baptist, Methodist, Kojic, whoever it is, the problem is the people who are representing it. What you're talking about, what I'm talking about, the problem that we're having with the Greg Locks of the world, and there are many more, which is using him as an example, since he loves to have his name out in the world. We're going to give him the
attention he wants.
Publicity that he wants.
Absolutely.
Right? When people say, I don't like the church. I don't mess with the church. What they're saying is I had an encounter with the person who said that they were a Christian, who said that they go to X, Y, and Z church, and they hurt me, or they did something wrong, or they messed up. You misrepresented Jesus. And so now you leave another person holding the residue of what you did to them.
Absolutely.
And so they lash out on the church, quote unquote. But what they're really saying is they have a problem with a person.
Jesus.
So all of this boils down to one thing. First, like Paul said in Corinthians, we say it every first Sunday. I grew up every first Sunday when we would do communion. Let a man examine himself. Right? It has to start with us first. Right? We have to crucify the flesh daily.
Absolutely.
For a reason. So all this misrepresentation, this conversation, everything boils down to the misrepresentation of Jesus and his church. The reason I have a problem with white evangelicals is the fact that they thought it was okay to storm the Capitol, commit whole felonies, walk into the Capitol building, stand at the podium that they were illegally entering, and pray.
Pray.
I mean, had a whole prayer session, took their hats off, bowed their heads, and literally started praying as they were committing a felony. And knew that they were right. Can't tell them that they were wrong. This is what God wants us to do. Right? It's the reason why the KKK can consider themselves a Christian organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Which is wholly ironic because you can't serve Jesus and hate Jews. Jesus was a Jew. fool. But you can't convince them that they're wrong, because they read the Bible and they know that they're right. Go look at those pictures from the Civil Rights Movement. They're holding up signs that says God hates integration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All of this is a misrepresentation of Jesus and his church. And the reason why we're frustrated and the reason why we're holding these conversations is not because we just want to bash the church. It's because we love it enough to correct it. When you get cancer, you have to introduce a poison, something that is harmful to your body, in order to kill the cancerous cells. So when it comes to correction, it's going to hurt for a while.
Absolutely.
It's going to be painful for a while. But at the end, it's going to save your life. And so we have to keep having these conversations that are going to be hurtful and painful and get under people's skin and make people uncomfortable. But we're doing it because we want to save your life.
Absolutely.
If you have a bone that is out of place, in order to put it back in the socket, you got to hurt somebody in order to reset it.
That's good.
So I'm willing to hurt some people's feelings. I'm willing to say something that may make somebody uncomfortable. I'm willing to talk as loudly and as much as possible because I love y'all too much to let you keep going down this road. My prayer for Greg Locke and all those people who think about them, like you said, he's got so much blood on his hands. And when I was watching that service, the only thing I kept praying was, God have mercy. Because he's leading people astray.
Right.
One of the reasons why I did not want to accept my calling as a teacher was because I would always remember my uncle would have his collar on, his clergy collar, and he'd always be tugging at it. And I'm like, one day I asked him, I was like, why you keep, if it's too tight, just get a bigger one. He said, no, it's supposed to be tight because it reminds me of the yoke of my anointing.
Mm.
This ain't a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to make me uncomfortable. It's supposed to remind me that I'm not supposed to be too lackadaisical in what I'm doing. That's what my grandfather used to say, lackadaisical. but one of the reasons why I didn't want to do this is because this ain't no game.
No.
I am accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. And when I stand before the King of Kings and I got to give an account for what I said, God forbid I lead somebody astray. That's on me. So Greg Locke can keep playing games if he want to. But bruh, that's on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Why are we not mindful of, like, my uncle, that collar? Right? There's no yoke. There's no reminder of this is serious. This ain't about likes and shares.
Wow. Come on.
Sure, you went viral. Congratulations. You just sent people to hell? You just told somebody that it was okay to kill other people, basically? You telling people not to go and get a vaccine that could help save their life? That's smart. So I'm not doing this for my health. I could be making money somewhere else.
Oh, absolutely. I told somebody that I was talking to my dad and I was telling him, he was asking me some questions and stuff like that. And I just straight out told him, I said, you know, if it was up to me, there's nothing in this world that I love more than Akeisha, Venturi, Harmony, and Riley.
Right.
And if it was up to me, I would be working and working and working to provide for my family. But there is a weight, and I'm trying not to get emotional because you stirred something up in me. There's a weight that's been placed on me,
right,
to get out there and to tell the people the message of Christ. And like you said, this ain't no game. And this, you're not doing this for fun. I
think it's not fun.
If they knew, like, oh, they do it for money's sake. Do you really think I do this for money's sake?
Where?
I'm doing this because there's a weight, and he promised me that he'll take care of me. All I'm living on is a promise. And faith on that promise. That's all what I live upon. Because I want my wife to have the best. I want her to be wearing the best. I want her to drive the best, to live in the best. And it's coming, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I got to stick to what he's called me to do and to get back. And when you said that, that made me question myself. I said, God, I just said to myself in my head, God, have I gotten too lackadaisical? Have I forgotten the yoke? Have I loosened the yoke? Because it's still on me.
Right.
But sometimes we can loosen it because we become too common with something. We become too common with our calling. We become too common with doing what we are born to do. You know how to get up there and preach a word. You know how to get up there and sing. You know how to get up there and do all those things that you did for so many years, it becomes routine at a point. But you can never forget the purpose behind why you do what you do. And you just punched me in the chest just then with that. Have we gotten too lackadaisical? Because we want to be so cool and we want to be so common that we have dropped the message of Christ and picked up the message of the Antichrist.
Wow.
To where, oh, God accepts everything. God, you know, in the scripture, everybody was invited to the wedding, but there was a dress code.
Come on, take a text.
And we got to get back to the dress code. We got to get back to the purpose. We got to get back to letting, yes, God loves everybody, but he's still calling the church. And we hate, I feel like the church hate this word because it's quote unquote traditional and it's religion, but it is. The church got to get back to holiness.
Yeah.
And holiness, when you break it down, ain't nothing. It means nothing but to be distinct or to be set apart. Right. To be
it's
different.
Not a dress code. It's not a dress code.
Right. It's not
a dress code. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. And we have loosened our collars because, see, this is what I've learned. Since in my relationship with God, the more and more I take this serious, the more I see what he's calling me to be and I embrace what he's calling me to be, the more I find myself with the weight to make sure I'm studying, to make sure I'm educating myself, to make sure that I'm in a place to empower these people, to help these people, to help the widows and the orphans. It's not to write a book or to become famous or to go viral. I don't want to go viral. I want somebody else to see the Jesus in me. And I'm, like I said, I'm really trying to hold back my emotions in it because I think you just really hit it on the head. We have lost the tension of the yoke. We have loosened the tension of the yoke. And we're no longer concerned like we used to be. And I know I'm not saying, oh, everybody go get you a clergy collar, nothing like that, because I don't wear clergy collars
Please
anymore.
Don't.
I stopped wearing clergy collars because I just felt like it became a tradition thing. Mm. We forgot the purpose of it.
Mm.
We forgot what these things symbolizes. And we just want to wear it just to wear, oh, we'll wear a chain, we'll wear, you know, we got so many people that want to be a bishop. Now we got so many people that want to be apostles. What are you bishop? What are you being an apostle over? Who are you sending out? You're just doing this for title's sake.
See, and you just said something there. You said, who are you sending out? Apostle means sent one.
Right.
Not sent out.
Right.
It means sent one, meaning you are supposed to be called by God to be sent. But it's become something that they've attached to their name to lord over other people.
Right.
And that, like you were saying, that's the problem. It goes back to the misrepresentation.
And this is what this nation that's coming up, that I'm a part of, that you are a part of, this nation that's going to clean up this misrepresentation. I've told this before, but I feel led to tell it again. I got to tell it because I'm coming up on my anniversary, church anniversary, and I'm reminded of it. This was the catalyst vision that God gave me back in 2012. And we get ready to get out of here. To 2012, I had this vision. We was at church and we was outside talking. It was the end of church and I was outside talking with my friends and stuff like that. And somebody came and said, hey, Lajuan, your mom wants you. So I went in the church and my mom was in the bathroom and she said, I need you to clean this up. And I went in that bathroom. I just saw mess everywhere. I saw feces everywhere. I saw pee. It was just the most disgusting bathroom you ever have seen in your life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, first, if you know Lajuan, there's two things Lajuan don't do. Lajuan don't clean up nobody else boo-boo. And Lajuan don't clean up nobody else throw up or anybody the fluids. I don't do it. I don't do it. You got to be of me for me to do it. Right. Riley, I clean my daughters. If Keisha ain't around, I would do it for them. But other than that, nobody else. Anyways, because I hate it. And I was upset in that dream since I was like, why do I got to clean this up? I didn't do this. And my mom was in the vision. She said, I just need you to do it. And I was like, why do I have to do it? She was like, I just need you to do it. And I was trying to break it down. I was like, no, you don't understand. I, Elijah, did not create this mess that's in here. So why do I have to clean it up? And she just had the most peaceful look on her face. I just need you to do it. And I woke up from the dream.
Wow.
Revelation is this. There's a lot of mess that's been created, not by us.
Right.
But God has chosen us to clean up the mess. No, you did not do it, but I need you to do it.
Gotta
I need
clean
you
it
to
up.
Clean it up. I need you to clean up the mess that's been created in the church. I need you to create the mess that's been that man has smeared and said it was God's word, but it was never God's word. I need you to clean up what was left behind by people who refused to address crap and foolishness that was left on the ground. And now the church is stinking. And every year I'm reminded of this vision every time. And I talk about it often. This is probably my second time talking about it on the podcast, but I just feel like the need to bring it up because this is the nation. I'm a part of this nation.
Right.
I feel like you are part of this nation that God has chosen in the time that we're living in. And this is what Run is all about, to clean up this mess and to revive those who are dead, those who have lost their connection with God, those that have strayed away, those that have went away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to revive and unite the nations. It's time to bring it all together and to clean up this mess so that healing can begin. You can't address the healing until you clean up the mess.
That's right.
A scar cannot get healed until it is clean with either saline or whatever agent it is for it to be cleaned up with. Because if it continues to sit in there, it's going to infect the whole body. Man, I'm sorry.
Preaching.
You stirred something up in me.
You preaching, sir.
Man. Man. God. Yeah. It's time to get to work. It's time to informed.
It's past time.
It's time to get this information. It's time to educate so we can empower. We got to clean up. We got to clean up this mess. You know, if nobody's going to stand up, you know, here am I, send me. I'm here.
Amen.
God is just looking for somebody to say, here am I, send me.
Exactly.
And we come together. And this what this is all about. So, you know, I'm trying to find words to say, but I'm kind of speechless. This podcast has turned into something else. God, all right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. This is more to come of this, because we got to get the word out. And I can't thank you enough, sis, for being with me on this podcast and being on this episode. I'm just going to speak it into existence that more episodes are to come. This is not the last that you have heard of this combination, this duo. And she's up north, I'm down south. We're going to bring it all together.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get people from around this country that's going to join in with us with this movement. So, can't thank you enough, sis.
My pleasure. Anytime.
I appreciate you. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. I'm sorry I don't have a Jerry Springer closeout moment. final thought. I don't have a final thought to this. Let's leave it on something to think about. Who's going to help clean up this mess?
Right.
Who's going to help clean up this misrepresentation?
That's right.
Will you go? All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 15. Gospel according to politics has turned into who's going to clean up the mess. Shout out to my sister. I love you. We're going to do it again.
Thank
y'all for listening.
Absolutely.
And we will catch y'all on the next episode. We'll see y'all next week. Hopefully on Tuesday. We'll see y'all next week. All right? Peace.